What we like to do is complement processes and governance with implementation. It's rubber meets the road, and that's where I pick up as far as where Janet left off. My role today is to lay out what I believe are your options, knowing that we're all here to accomplish our own FIN goals. But if you're here for integration, you're either trying to do integration, you're doing it and you want to do it better, or you just want to see how other folks are doing it. And so I'm going to lay out the options as we see it for implementing enterprise data integration. And that's on many levels that happens, because there are different varying sizes of organizations. Each one has its own purpose. The Florida Department of Health is unique in that it's made up of very many small organizations trying to achieve integration, as well as approaching it from an enterprise perspective. So we've had the ability to come up with multiple solutions, both for small organizations as well as the organization as a whole. If you are starting an integration office, I think this presentation is really going to help you know what's out there and just give you a way to approach setting up your implementation. For us, I break it down into three areas. One, talent, you have to have the people. Tools, you have to buy the software. And three, you have to put that into an architecture that makes sense and that's going to work for your organization. Let's go ahead and start with talent. At the Florida Department of Health, we have six interface developers. We have a project lead. We now have an interface analyst that we're going to be able to use. And each person on that team has unique skills. I obviously can get up here and give a presentation, or at least I hope you think so. But we have folks that have different needs for development and different strengths. And we try to use that. We don't like all of our developers to have a common vanilla skill set where we can Xerox copy them and they're doing the same thing. You need in an enterprise a varying skill set or skill level. As long as all of those skill sets contribute to your overall architecture, you're going to meet your needs. But diversity is huge in our world. Obviously, with six developers, you have a lot of throughput. 20 concurrent projects, 75 years of experience, not only healthcare integration, but we help manage the Department of Health's HIPAA-compliant billing, which for most people outside of public health, that's a whole different business. That's a whole different vertical. That's a whole different outsourced contract, if you will. So we use, as a team, statements of work to define skill sets to hire individuals. If you are looking to do that in your organization, feel free to contact Janet, contact myself. We'd be happy to help you locate the skill sets you need for your projects and your integration. The next set is tools. Tools in IT can vary. For me, I'm going to cover a breadth of topics. First one that we're going to go ahead and make an assumption is a network infrastructure. You have, as an IT shop, you have a network and an infrastructure to support it. We take that for granted in the Department of Health because we have a very good infrastructure staff. But yet that has to come first. That's a prerequisite, if you will. Servers, data transport, how are you going to get the data somewhere. Integration brokers, which we think are key to lowering your cost of ownership of any IT product, is to be able to move data between your products. You're not going to have a monolithic system. Everyone that tries to do it fails. So you might as well pick the best of breed applications that meet your needs and be able to move data to and from that. That's where the integration broker comes in. You have to do it securely. At the Department of Health, integration is actually part of the security office. So we don't have a choice. We answer to the security gods every day. So security is very key, as Janet said. And she kind of related the why. You don't want someone's information showing up, even though it is public health. Data storage and data consumption, don't want to take those for granted, but we'll get into them. So when you're going to select or you're developing your architecture, you need servers. You have to have hardware. There are many classes of servers, many different approaches. The Department of Health started with two IIS Microsoft web servers as our integration broker solution. And after the pain and anguish and misery and sleepless nights at 4 a.m. of dealing with that solution, we moved to, thank you to our friends in epidemiology, to an enterprise class Sun cluster, four node cluster, more hardware than you can shake a stick at. But what that's done for us is allowed us to go to a reliable environment. The short-sighted nature of that purchase, however, was the long-term costs of maintenance for those. Also, the replacement of that when Sun decides they don't want us to necessarily support it anymore. So then you get faced with a very short deadline of migrating to a new environment, which is where we find ourselves currently. And that leads to what we believe as a growing, well, it's growing in the industry, but as a growing, growingly attractive offering, which is your server blades, your low-cost, redundant servers that you can cluster an operating system across. What that gives you is failover. It gives you the ability to migrate to or scale your environment very quickly and hopefully easily, especially if you're buying the right technology. This is very popular, but this is only accomplishable with shared network storage, which we will get into. You need to address your shared network storage because in any kind of disaster recovery environment, which we'll talk about a little bit, you need to be able to have access to that data, not only in your production environment, but in an off-site or high availability environment. Another option for us, especially when we start talking about disaster recovery, is your virtualization, virtualizing servers. Now, this is, if server blades are a trend, this is hot. This is the new thing, the new technology. It's important because what virtualization allows you to do is to create any number of servers that you want independent of hardware. So you don't have to wait for Dell to ship you your hardware. You can create server environments on the fly. You can also replicate on the fly. You can also move environments from one to the other while running on the fly. So this allows you a lot of flexibility. Now, reliability is something that has been lacking in virtualization, which is why it's slow to be adopted. It's also a concept that folks need to be able to understand before it's popular, but it's getting better. And virtualization is something we use as a low-cost disaster recovery solution. And the last thing to keep in mind is high availability. You can't have an enterprise and integration environment without reliability, and that only comes when your system is up and highly available. At the Department of Health, the availability is based on the need of the highest available system. So if you have mission-critical systems you're delivering data to, immediately your environment now becomes mission-critical. You don't have a choice. So you have to rise to the level of the applications you're serving. And high availability in clustering servers and or environments is important. It's overlooked because when you talk about funding, everyone puts high availability and disaster recovery down under, you know, we have to get everyone happy first in our environment up and running, and you don't get there, especially if you put it down the priority list. You almost need to make high availability a prerequisite to your environment. Go ahead and pilot your technology, pilot your projects, but once you see this as a goal and a way to go, you have to put high availability on your radar and on your list. The point of data integration is data transport. You have to get data from point A to point B. Well, how do you do that? In a healthcare system, in hospitals, they're highly mature compared to public health organizations. So a lot of that is server-to-server, socket-based connection. I don't want to get too techie on you, but application-application integration, which is easy and somewhat useful compared to some of the other challenges in a public health setting that you're going to see, because you have legacy applications that want to export files and email them or attach them on a floppy disk and mail them. The other protocols are going to help you do that. FTP, secure FTP, because FTP these days, especially with medical data, if you're not aggregating it to just an account, you need a better technology. Secure FTP, FTPS, which is another type of FTP over secure sockets. As we mentioned, TCP/IP or socket-based interfaces, HTTPS with the advent of web services allows you to communicate using that protocol, as well as Samba. And that's something we use internally with the Department of Health, being that as an organization with offices in 67 counties, all running Windows servers and all wanting to exchange data, Samba allows us to move that data for them, being the fact that we live in a Unix environment, being in integration. We also recommend tools and or specialization of your needs. An integration broker, solves everyone's problems, but unless you want to have 30 staff of integration interface developers, you need other tools that other analysts can use, program areas can use to move data. So what we've done is specialized products like our file mover, which allows us to move any file from anywhere, to one or more files from a location or multiple locations to any number of destinations. And that's configurable with a staff assistant can configure this tool. It also allows us to do alerting and notifications when those files move and schedule them. So by taking that off our plate, our integration developers are free to develop interfaces. Either that or we're free to survive budget cuts, which are inevitable. And FinMS. We have adopted FinMS as our preferred method of data transport because it's interoperable. We want to be able to send data as the state of Florida to all of your states, and if you adopt the Fin messaging system, you too will be able to exchange that data in a very short period of time. There's not a lot of overhead to it, and it's simple. If you are looking to do that, please contact us. We'd be happy to help along with the CDC. There are two solutions. One is a highly advanced environment where you have a client and server piece, a client for sending data, server for receiving data. If you do not want to have to invest into that technology, the new project is the route not read technology, which allows you as a client to send data, and while you're sending it, you say, why don't I check to see if I have any data available? What that relies on is a secure, trusted third party to host that data. The state of Florida is working as a regional route not read hub along with the state of Nebraska, and that will enable you as states to interchange data. And when we say route not read, the idea being that trusted third party won't be able to or won't want to look at that data because it's encrypted to its destination. So look into that technology if you are interested in sending data to other states, which is kind of the point of the whole conference. File mover, now I will get to that, is something that the state of Florida is going to open source. So it's technology we've built in our integration environment, but we're going to make that available for open source, mainly because we think that it's our job as developers to give back something. Correct. Yeah. Good question. And I'll get into that a little bit more. Okay, so integration brokers, because we use a lot of them and have evaluated a lot of them, I wanted to give you some feedback on where you should be looking if you're looking for these tools. Please keep in mind this is not a Gartner quadrant. I'm not evaluating every tool on the market, and we're not doing metrics. This is based on our experience and what we've chosen to use. We like these companies all. We're just going to give you our opinion of each. We committed early to Cloverleaf, been bought by three different companies, but we chose it because it was healthcare centric. It knew how to move healthcare data, it did it well, it did it easily. That was the deal sealer for us. Plus they helped a lot with our initial implementation. It's enterprise scalable, and if you have developers that are familiar with this environment, you can do just about anything you want because of the flexibility and that granularity the developers have. Expertise in the tool is going to be something that you're going to need to acquire. Rhapsody, the CDC recommended and offered under certain licensing partnerships to you, integration tool. We've liked it. We like the ease of use of it. We like the fact that we could, you know, get it up and running fairly quickly. We used this in a pilot environment, and at the end of the day, we chose to stick with our current Cloverleaf environment for all of our productions needs, mainly because of that already existing, highly available disaster recovery environment. Creating and managing two of those became something management didn't necessarily want to do. So as developers, since we can choose one or the other, we've chosen not to take Rhapsody to that level, but we would recommend that you look at it. Its ease of use is probably your biggest reason for selecting that tool. Being that we are developers and open source lovers of the world, we really have enjoyed using WebReach's MIRTH integration tool. It is an open source tool. It's allowed us to get in there and actually do our own bug fixes, contribute back to the open source community. It's highly flexible. It's very modern, so dealing with web services and databases is like, you know, starting your car. It's just a very simple thing to do. Unfortunately, because we do HIPAA compliant billing, it's a big portion of what DOH data integration does, the limited support for EDI and X12 has kept us from going to management and saying, we have a solution to meet all your financial needs. We're going to have a free integration environment that no longer has licensing costs. But they're working on it, and it's a young product. We're hopeful, because it's open source and it's young, and we're contributing to the product, that it will get where we want to go and allow us to use that tool. I'm just about to wrap up. Another one you want to look at is Sun Java Caps. It is open source, but the level to which it's open source is not completely completed yet. So you will have some struggles to get that up and running. But when you get to the enterprise scale, or if you have heard of an enterprise service bus, this is it. This is the offering. This is what my developers say. Man, if we could use this all the time, this would be great. So I would definitely look at this tool as well. You need to think about security, file and transport security. There are solutions we've implemented, GPG being a file-based open source encryption solution. If you have any questions about that, we're happy to help. We mandate secure FTP use for external data exchange of files. That's a very nice tool to have in web services. When you get to security and you're starting to use FinMS and you realize that you're exchanging digital certificates and things like that, you're going to need an administrative interface to manage that, LDAP solutions, and certificate management tools. You're going to need to look at those things. Data storage, with all this data, you have to decide, you're moving the data, but are you going to keep it? And if you're going to keep it, for how long? And are you keeping it so you can resend it? Are you keeping it for a backup? Are you keeping it to keep the auditors happy? Network addressable storage, SAN, shared disk outside of the operating system environment is something you're going to want to invest in. It makes disaster recovery, backups, and all of these things possible. It can be either directly tethered or virtual. There's all kinds of technology out there, but you need to have that on your radar. Databases, when you're either staging data for your recipients because they have an access system and they can't receive data directly into a database, you may stage them in databases. We highly suggest that. It's better than just having files sit out there. And the question is, what's the point of consumption? Is a consumption transactional in nature, or do you want analysis to be done on that? And that's going to drive the schema or the database architecture you use for storing that data. Don't just put data into a database and assume it's going to meet your needs. You need to have forethought into the organization of it. And that gets into data consumption. We have a lot of applications that are willing to accept data directly, but some can't, so you put the data for them to consume. We would suggest investment in a business intelligence solution for data consumption, at a minimum, crystal reports, for example, a way to display and distribute that data. Because once you start moving on this data and making it available to your users, they're going to want to use it more. Or, well, can I use it for this, and can I use it for that? You need to think about data consumption in integration, whether it's either direct application interface, indirect application, as we talked about, or that even rolling it up to a business intelligence reporting solution, all of which we are currently doing. So your architecture, in a nutshell. CDC, it focuses on vocabulary. It wants you to standardize your messaging and your context of your data. They recommend and they provide licensing help for your Rhapsody solution for limited use, and FinMS for your data transport. The state of Florida has adopted, obviously, our Cloverleaf solution. We've chosen to use a file mover or an additional tool set to minimize the number of interfaces we write. Just to move, if you want to move data from point A to point B, it doesn't need to be an interface. Only use an interface if we're going to transform the data or add value in some way. Other than that, we can allow staff assistants and production support folks to configure file movements within the agency. The reason we make it easy is so that we can audit it and make it secure. And we're not worried that people are emailing data out that's going to end up in the wrong hands. In DOH, a couple of the key components I wanted to hit on: high availability, regional disaster recovery, version control. If you're a developer, you need to have a solution. If you're not a developer, your developers need to offer you a version control solution. If they need help with that, please let us know, because we spend a lot of time and commitment in implementing ours. We've selected best of breed integration brokers to try them out. We suggest that you do not marry yourself to a proprietary system that's going to cost you money and not be able to provide the solutions you need. Server virtualization is something we count on to lower our cost of ownership. Security and auditing is something we don't have a choice about, so make it a priority. And what we're calling the open source roadmap, this is if we as a team were brought in and say, you know, okay, let's start fresh. How would we do it? We would highly suggest you approach your solution using an open source roadmap, mainly because it lowers your cost of ownership, and why not? It's free. So WebReach Mirth is a very good solution to get you started there. It's easy to use, it's growing, it's something that we have enjoyed using. The file mover, and I will provide as much detail if you are interested in that, contact me, and we'll make the, we'll let you know how that open sourcing goes. My developers tell me by the end of the year they'll be able to put something out there. So we'll put together a website or something like that, probably using an open source website tool to publish it, SourceForge or something like that. And then FinMS, being the fact that we are adopt a regional route not read hub, we are drinking the Kool-Aid with FinMS, and we suggest that you do too. So we can get your data and you can have ours. And that about wraps it up for me. Here's my contact information, two email addresses, as I will be available somewhat. If I'm not available at one, I will be available at the other. And my phone number, if you have any questions, if you'd like to come up, I know we're going into lunch. If you're not that hungry, you want to talk to us, we'll feel free to stay up here. We can answer your questions.
Okay. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you, everybody, for attending this session. Wonderful. We have time right now, 10 minutes to QA. So if you have any question, you can ask any of the three speakers, John, Janet, and Jeff. And please try to visit the interoperability showcase in the exhibit hall. Thank you. And it is now open for question.
I know a question they want to ask. What's for lunch?
Okay. And if you have any idea, you can send us email, because it is the area we have to pay attention, because it is going to the one of the important area to looking at, not only the individual level information, in the population level information, the concept is now moving in different direction. We have to look at all aspect of any area we do. So if you have any idea, you can send any of three speakers email, and you can send me an email. My email is very easy, aek5@cdc.gov. So please send us email for new ideas. You have any ideas that we can discuss. Thank you.